Good morning, everyone. My name's Rowan, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just great to be here with you. Thank you so much, Tina. I should have kept a hanky or a box of tissues with me, because I knew as soon as you started speaking that I was going to be in tears, and I just feel that, just feel how hard it must have been for you, and my heart breaks for people who have life, aspects of life where they can't trust people, where people fail them, and perhaps sometimes look around and wonder who is there that I can trust. And sometimes there might not be people there, and so I feel that when people let you down, and that might be you today, or it might have been your experience in your life. But so this message today is called Trust and Obey. And I just, as you're sharing, I just felt that this is less, I suppose, about analyzing people who we can trust and who we can't, because it's sometimes really hard to know. Sometimes decisions in life, we don't know who to trust or where to go to find that reliable source of information. Sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes in hindsight we realize, okay, yeah, they were trustworthy. But in sometimes at the time when we have to make a decision and make a choice, we just don't know. And it's really hard. And yeah, people unfortunately are flawed and fail us. But my focus, I suppose, today is which comes from this passage that we just read, is that God alone is trustworthy. He uses people, and some people can be trusted. So don't, please hear me, and I'm not saying don't trust anybody, but I'm saying that ultimately it is God who is trustworthy and that we trust him. And so what influence our decisions, do we know where to go to rely on, to make choices? And I guess this might reflect a little bit about me. I like to analyze things, and sometimes I feel like, oh, choices are just such a problem. If we just, everything was just so clear and the path was just laid out before us, then it would be easy, wouldn't it? But life is just not like that all the time. And we have to put our faith and choose and then walk in that choice. So that's why it's trust and obey, because our trust and our choices reflect the things where our faith is and what we do believe in. So one of the definitions of trust is the belief that you can trust someone or something to be good, to be honest, and will not harm you, or that something is safe and reliable. When you trust something, that's what you believe about that. Trust is also to hope and expect that something is true. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And so this passage of Scripture really reflects a situation where there was trust needed. And we see the difference between those who did trust and those who didn't. And so just the little bit of discourse before this man encountered Jesus is interesting, isn't it? You know, talking about who sinned. Was it the man or was it his parents? And sometimes we are quick to put blame on, aren't we? We're just quick to think, whose fault is it? And perhaps isn't very helpful. Even if we do know whose fault it was, what are we going to do with that anyway? Are we going to, you know, live in anger, or, you know, despise them, or is there more behind the scenes? And in this case, there is more behind the scenes, because Jesus explains to him that it was neither sin of the man or of his parents. What is that this happened? He was born blind, so that the glory of God, the works of God, could be displayed in him. And then, straight away, what does he do? Does he lay hands on him? Is he seen straight away? He spits on the ground. A little bit unconventional. I don't know in details the way that people were treated perhaps in those times, but I've got a feeling that this was a little bit unconventional. So after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. So the man couldn't see, but I'm sure he had pretty good hearing. And so I'm sure that he would have heard what happened and perhaps thought, what is going on here? What's going to happen to me? I really want the works of God to be revealed in me, but do I want saliva on my eyes? I'm not sure. Perhaps the man knew the reputation of Jesus. Perhaps he heard about him and he heard the discourse that happened before, and so he thought, okay, I'm really hopeful something's going to happen here. And then, so I get the feeling that there was a level of trust that this man, and I keep saying this man, I wish he had a name. I wish that I could just give him a name, and I didn't come up with a name. But so he's this man who was healed. So there, yeah, put someone to get some mud and put that on your eyes, I think really requires trust, doesn't it? And so this man did allow that to happen. But then he would have wondered, oh, okay, I allowed this, but nothing happened. Okay, what next? And then he was told, go. So Jesus said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. And in brackets there, it says this word means sent. And I had a look a little bit about it and wondered, oh, why is that included? I'm not really sure exactly. I know a little bit about the pool of Siloam was connected to a flow of water, and all I could really find that it was that the water pooled there and then it was sent out into the Kidron Valley. That's all I know. Sorry. You feel free to look it up more. Maybe ask Kelvin. Put your hand up, Kelvin, by the way. He lived in... To send. So perhaps, I mean, there was some thought that perhaps he's saying, you know, the play on words here a little bit, that go to the one who was sent. I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't going to bring that up because I thought that's a tangent. But so the main important thing is on the next slide, he obeyed. So he was told to go, and he did. So he trusted to have the saliva mud on his eyes, and then he obeyed to go and wash that off. And here, what I will say about the background information and what could be read into it is that in the book of John, there's these themes of water and light. And when you read it, you see that on a number of occasions. And even before that, he talks about that he is the light of the world. So there's this water, there's this washing, and then he sees for the very first time. And imagine that, you know, this mud on his eyes and then washing it off and being able to see. It says he came home seeing. That's just incredible that he'd never seen before. He was born blind. And then this happened to him. So he experienced the washing and then he experienced light through his eyes for the very first time. That's just incredible. So I see that there's something significant about the washing and therefore seeing. I think that there is real strong symbolism there, especially considering the way that the book of John is written. And I love it. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And as you read it or listen to it, it's just amazing. And so there's this sequence of events. The trust required faith, required him to believe that this man was trustworthy, and then obedience in going and doing what he was commanded to do. So he could see, and he had this testimony. And then, like, you just think, well, this is obviously a miracle. This is obviously God working in his life. This is obviously a sign that this man, Jesus, was doing something through the power of God. that perhaps he could be the Messiah, because he was making blind people see, which was one of the significant things of the coming of the kingdom of God. But what do his neighbors say? So verse 8, so we see that others didn't trust. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, but others said, "Nah, he only looks like him." Maybe lots of people look like him, I don't know. Maybe his appearance did change because he could see, but why would people doubt? Why would people not just say, "Hallelujah, this amazing thing has happened. This blind man can see now." But it reflects something, I think, in not only human nature, but not only those people, but human nature in general. We don't trust for some reason, even though it's right before our eyes. And then there's this discord with the Pharisees. So they hear these rumors about it. People take him to talk to them. And I'll just kind of summarize what happens. So he gets grilled. Who was this man who did this to you? He can't be from God because it happened on the Sabbath. And Sabbath, it was significant. But was Jesus breaking the Sabbath by doing this? In other passages, he was saying, no, it's important to do good, and bringing healing on the Sabbath is not breaking the commandment of God. So it doesn't contradict his authority as the Son of God, Son of Man. But the Pharisees were grilling him, even to the point that they get his parents to come and testify on his behalf, and they're like, "Why can't you believe him? This happened. We don't know how it happened, but it happened. And so why? And then even to the point where he says, you want more information? Do you want to believe in him too?" And they're like, "No way. They already made their decision about him." And even to the point where anybody who testified and believed in him would be thrown out of the synagogue and the temple. And that's what happened to this guy. But all he was doing was sharing what happened to him because he trusted. And so, it's a fascinating discourse, and it's worth reading a little bit more. They wanted to know more about him. They wanted to grill him and find something in there to shut Jesus down, pretty much, that they didn't believe in him as the Messiah, or perhaps they were threatened or something else. So the next thing... going back to the man, some didn't trust. Going back, others didn't trust. And then the man was trusting in God's power. And that just makes me think about how people trust in powerful things. And the next slide is of probably the most powerful animal that I couldn't think of, is an elephant. And so you can see this man is actually, he's riding on it. And the picture reflects it's a young elephant, but the elephant could do anything to the man, either the man holding his trunk or the man sitting on top. But despite the power of the elephant, they'd obviously trained him and had enough experience beforehand to know that the elephant was trustworthy. And so I just feel that about God. God is powerful beyond our comprehension. As Priscilla was saying to the kids, he made the stars and the moon. And did anyone see the full moon recently? Just as it came up on the horizon, it was like this this mysterious thing just hanging there in the sky. And I was out in the country on Monday, and I saw it come up, and I was on top of the hill, and I got my binoculars out. So I shifted between looking at a brown falcon flying in the sky and then looked at the moon, and you could see that it was round and it's just big. And God made this. The Bible said that he made all these things. How powerful is this God? And this was this man who's born blind, he hears of someone who can heal him, who has the power to heal him, to bring sight to him, and he was trusting in that power, that it was good and that it was worth obeying. And so the next thing, so he has his discord with the Pharisees. He gets chucked out of the temple. And then verse 35. If you can flick to that. Yeah, cool. Thanks, Rod. Jesus heard, so same passage, just a bit further down. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Isn't this interesting? Those who know they are in need of the power of God in their lives will be the ones who will be able to see. But those who deny that and deny God's power, they won't see the power of God in his work. And that's the judgment. Romans 1, 16, 7 to 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" This is a very significant passage on a number of things. It says that the gospel in itself, the gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that his Son would come and take on flesh, would give up his right to the majesty on high, give that up for a while and become made lower, become made flesh, so that people could interact with him. People like this man could have mud on their eyes and be told to go and wash, have this experience, this incredible transformation experience, in order for them to put their faith in him. And not only then, but the same today. This Son of God, Jesus, Yeshua, which means salvation, came and is alive. He died and he rose again and he ascended, and then he sent his Spirit to speak to people. And he is trustworthy. He is absolutely trustworthy, that we can trust in him, that he will not only save us, but that he can be with us every step in our life. He will bring light to our life in this world, in darkness. He will bring truth. He will bring sight. He will bring wholeness and transformation. And he has come. And this gospel, this is the power of God, brings salvation to everyone who believes. And when you do believe, you will be part of the righteousness of God, and that as part of that righteousness, we will live by faith. We will trust and we will obey. We will believe in him that he is trustworthy, and then we'll live lives that reflect that. That is so, so important. And so we trust in him, and then amazing thing is that he entrusts us. He entrusts us to be witnesses for him, to testify to this truth. Like the man did, he said, "I was blind, but now I can see. I don't know how this happened, but I believe that this man did it, and I'm going to follow him. Tell me who the Son of Man is, so that I will believe in him." And then he reveals who the Son of Man is. It is I before you, speaking to you. And then he trusted in him and believed in him and worshipped him. And that's just so significant. And that's an opportunity that everybody has. Everybody has. God has revealed himself in creation, in the world, so that no one is without excuse. But then we are entrusted to then share that good news to other people, so that they can come and see and understand and believe in the one who has that power of God for salvation. So we walk by faith, not by sight. The righteous will live by faith. The righteous will trust in him and will be confident that the decisions that we make in life, when we hand them over to him, that he will use them for his good work. The next slide, I love this little bit of an acronym, that T-R-U-S-T, truly rely on God's unfailing sovereign timing. I think that's worth memorizing. Trust, it means truly rely on God's unfailing sovereign timing. And for this man, that was the case, wasn't it? That the timing was perfect, that he would come and open his eyes. The next slide says, people say, show me and I'll trust you. But God says, trust me and I'll show you. There's a bit of a difference there, isn't it? And it's profound. And we don't see him now. We don't see Jesus physically now. We experience his spirit now. But we will. We will. Jesus says he'll come again. The angels, when he ascended, he said the Son of Man will descend in the same way. We have this hope that the Son of God will return. He will return. He's going to come back. And it's soon. It was soon back then, and it is soon now. We don't know, but we trust that he is going to come back, and that should change our lives. We trust that he will return, that we will be united with him for eternity. And until that time, when he is revealed, the fullness of time comes, we are to be faithful to him. We are to be obedient to his instructions. We trust in him, and he will show us. He will show us the way. He will show us who it is that we are called to be witnesses to. And, he will show us what it is he wants us to do, how we are to show his love to his people. And it goes back to what it said in verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, but while I am in the world, I am the light of the world, and he is the light of the world now. And so, just however that might have been speaking to you, wherever you might be in your level of trust towards God and towards Jesus being the Son of God and your Savior, there's an invitation. And I feel like there's an opportunity now, an invitation now to believe in him, to confess with your mouth that I believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that this is the power of God for salvation. I can be forgiven. I can commit my life to him. I can trust in him for all things. And so why not now? Why not now, in however you want to do that? There's a video with a song that will be played in a sec. And so feel free to listen to that. There's words there. If you want to do that where you're sitting now, if you want to go on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. I want to believe in you and follow you. If you want to come to the front and do that publicly, then that would be a wonderful thing to do. I invite you, God invites you, Jesus invites you to trust in him and seek to obey him. So, yeah, I feel like God's Spirit is just prompting that to happen. And I know that he is speaking to some of you today. And so let's listen to that. And then I'll come back up and pray. Let's pray together. as that picture just there at the end there of a child in the arms of Jesus, I pray that we will be like that child. We will come before him, before the one who is trustworthy with all things, with our life, with all our decisions. We come before you, and we want to acknowledge that you are our Saviour. We thank you that you have provided a way for us to receive forgiveness. Thank you that you can heal us of all previous hurt, that you can be that one source of light in our lives. And we want to trust in you. We want to receive your Spirit today. We want to obey you to go into all the world and make disciples. We want to be witnesses through the power of your Spirit to the people that you've put in our lives. And we want to see transformation in the lives of people around us who may not know you. Please, please, God, come and fill us and take hold of us, and may we be a part of your power. So thank you for today, and we just commit everyone here, anyone who has committed themselves to you, either for the first time or for a 100th time, please bless them. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Thank you.